Jackson trying to escape and run for it, and he's got it more. Lamar Jackson down the sideline. Will they give it to him? They will. Touchdown, Baltimore.
And with 1:17 left to play on Wild Card Weekend, the Hayes in the Barn.
Oh my God! I wish you guys could. I wish we had a camera in here so you could see what we're doing. We're just a bunch of clowns in here.
How much fun is that?
All right, welcome on back to another edition of the Baltimore Beatdown Podcast. It is Tuesday, May 25th, 2021. My name is Jake Luke, and I'm joined on screen by Spencer Nathaniel Schultz, whose hair is just looking truly better than ever right now.
It's pretty clean, just a little shao-shao. Got all sweaty earlier. It's got some bob to it. I got the Rachel going on.
Got all sweaty earlier.
I went to the gym and sweat out the weekend, and yeah. Nice. Got all sweaty. Plus beach this weekend. I have to try and do my last ditch attempt to look good, shirtless, and make myself feel better.
So you got a little fitness journey going on, it sounds like.
Oh yeah. I mean, I've been cranking. I hurt my back. If I didn't hurt my back, I'd be crushing right now. So that knocked off like 3 weeks where I had just gotten like ramped back up. I perfectly timed it. Fat boy winter, jack boy summer. I ran a couple of times. I still was able to run a little bit. I took like a full week off from everything. And Big Poppy, I eat healthy, but I also don't eat healthy. And when I eat a lot.
Yeah, we've talked about this a lot. It's been an interesting ramp back up into doing the whole exercising thing, I think, for both of us. Definitely starting to get there with the running, which is nice, but I haven't been able to put up the weights. I keep telling myself that I'm going to do it, but I need the motivation, man. I don't know where to get that from.
Just take some pre-workout and then you have literally no other choice.
Yeah, but I feel like that's going to give me a panic attack. Like, is that unfounded?
You can take stuff that just gives you like, you can take stuff that just has like thiamine and the means in it. And it just gives you like a little bit of a pump and drink like a cup of black coffee and you're fucked if you don't go work out.
Yeah, I've been doing actually a little bit of the cold brew, which is...
I don't think I've ever had cold brew.
All you got to do, just go to the grocery store, find that Dunkin' cold brew, and throw it in the picture with the with
it's
the
like
grounds.
Super caffeinated, right? That's what cold brew's appeal is.
Yeah, it's pretty diesel, and also it's supposed to be good for this time of the year. I can drink hot coffee pretty much any time of the year, or any hot drink. I'm a big tea guy as well, but been getting into the cold brew a little bit because I'm trying to cut back on caffeine. So I'll do like a little decaf coffee on some days that I acquired, but then I also got the cold brew where, like, if I'm doing caffeine, I'm doing caffeine, but I'm not doing like 2 cups of hot coffee. I just do 1 cold brew and then just kind of go from there.
I've never really had to be like a 2 cup of coffee guy, and I don't always need coffee, but it's just some mornings I'm like, stick me.
I would legit just do it like when I was in the office. I would just do it out of boredom. I was like, I'm just going to go get my 3rd cup of coffee for the day. And then I'm just absolutely tweaking by like 5 p.m. Then I'm going to get home and have a caffeine crash and record a fucking podcast, because that's really professional and how you want to be doing things.
It's what I feel like everybody goes through that at some point where you're bored. If you're in an office, if you're working in a goddamn cubicle, you'll do anything you can to get up, get about, entertain yourself a little bit. So... No disrespect to the multiple cups of coffee in that situation, but now that the boys are remote, I'm remote for good, baby. I'm never going back to the office.
Yeah, dude, I'm thinking the same way. Actually, it's funny that you mentioned that, because I am going in tomorrow to actually help in the warehouse, which I don't really mind doing because I get to pump some.
That's not the office. That's like you're out and about. You're actually doing something of purpose.
Yeah, exactly. There's some activity going on with it, which I actually do kind of like, and I get to get out of the house, which is, you know, maybe not the worst thing after being cooped up for the past year or so. But yeah. I mean, speaking of cooped up, I feel like we're about to both go buck wild. You know, we got MDW coming up, which feels like it's going to be a normal one for the first time in over a year. And it looks like
a flight. I'll be on my first flight in 2 years, I guess, just about.
Where are
maybe
you going?
Carolina. I'm flying to Raleigh to drive from Raleigh to Carolina Beach. Okay. Not my choice, but I'm just going to get absolutely nuked for the plane even though it's a very short plane ride. I think that'll probably be the shortest plane ride I've ever taken.
I mean, that's always the best, though, a short plane ride. I remember the one to Chicago that I had for work maybe 2 years ago. That was the last flight I did. And I know on the way there, like, I had work stuff going on the next day, so I didn't want to get too hammered. But on the way back in Midway, I got just, like, tall beer after tall beer to the point that the bartender was like looking at me like, what are you doing? Like, don't you have a flight to get on? And I was like, yeah, you know,
I'm going to go night on the flight.
Yeah. I'm just going to calm me down and I'm just going to wake up in Baltimore. So it's a nice feeling, but going out to Carolina, I mean, that's going to be fun. Holy shit. That looked like a fun scene this weekend at Charleston at Kiowa with Phil Mickelson picking up the PGA championship. That crowd was as cool of a sports crowd as I've seen since the pandemic started.
Easily. That's one of the cooler crowds I think I've ever seen. Like, that's like top 200 crowds of all time, possibly.
Yeah, it just felt like the animals were let out of the cage a little bit for the first time in however long. And that looks like a ton of fun. It feels like a little bit of hopefully a preview of what everyone's going to be getting into in whatever their beach town of choice is this weekend. But yeah, it's been it was a fun weekend in that regard. Good weekend for sports. Had Monaco and F1, which is always kind of a, from what I've understood, I had never watched it live. It was always kind of a little bit of a boring watch, which I think it kind of was this year, but there was some intrigue with Charles Leclerc's gearbox failing, so he actually couldn't race even though he was on pole position. And yeah, Max Verstappen takes it home. I think there was like maybe one or two overtakes the entire
race.
The
Monaco native.
Yeah, he is. I mean, shout out to Charles Leclerc. He's actually literally from Monaco. Max is Dutch.
Oh, Leclerc's from Monaco? I didn't
even
know that.
He's literally from there. He's like... probably like top 10, like rich kid in the entire world to like grow up doing that. And then you're a fucking F1 driver. But yeah, he was from there. Max actually lives, a lot of the guys live there actually from what I understand. But yeah, he got the W. So great sports weekend. And yeah, I mean, we're 6 minutes in. We haven't talked any Ravens yet. I think that kind of speaks as to where we're at on the calendar, but we actually have had some stuff coming out recently. I guess we touched on this a little bit before we got going, whether we wanted to dive into this too much or not. I think we alluded to it in our chat with Bobby. The Hollywood Brown number change controversy going from number 15 to number 5. You had some takes on this.
I just, like, if your number is going to get retired, I think you should be in the Hall of Fame.
I agree.
And I don't think he's going to go to the Hall of Fame. I love him. I don't think, this is the thing also, I'll preface with this. I don't think another quarterback should wear it.
Sure.
But if Hollywood wants it now that it's up for grabs and that's a whole thing, like, that's fine. I am absolutely fine with it. I like Hollywood getting 5. Feels like he's really wanted it, like, for multiple years too. Like, he was very upset that he couldn't wear it coming in. He's talked about it. He does his little Twitch and whatever. I don't watch that, but I like see clips sometimes on social media. And he's like talking about it was different when he was 5. It was different when he was 5, whatever. But yeah, it's, Flacco is just such a fucking gray area of everything always. And yeah, I'm fine. I'm happy Hollywood's happy. If Flacco was like not still in the NFL too, it kind of pisses me off that he's still floating around, but I respect it all at the same time.
I think I came to this conclusion when all of this was happening. And I've probably said this to like some effect or extent over the last couple of years. I think I've just had a moratorium on fucking Joe Flacco debates. Like, what else is there to say? Why do we need to have these?
We're inundated with it for so long.
Yeah, like, and not just within the fan base. It was outside the fan base. It was the elite thing. It was like, and then that became a parody. And then
that was the only talking point of the Baltimore Ravens nationally.
Yeah.
For 5 years.
And it was just so exhausting, and it was exhausting within the fan base and outside of the fan base. And it's just like the guy, like, he was a good quarterback. I think he's going to go in the Ring of Honor. He's going to be honored in front of the stadium at some point, hopefully soon, when he does retire after doing whatever he's going to do in Philadelphia, probably start a few games at some point this year, which is going to be funny to watch. But yeah, like he'll be a Ring of Honor guy. I expect that he's probably going to move back here and, like, I don't know, maybe open like some car dealerships or something and let his money just make money. And yeah, it's just like he's a club legend. He absolutely is the reason why they won the Super Bowl in 2012. That does not automatically mean that your number has to be retired. Like, you know, we can calm down with that stuff.
These are the worst quarterbacks that have had their number retired in like remotely modern history. It's Donovan McNabb.
Who I think is a good anagram for Flacco without the postseason success. Like Donovan.
Yeah, I mean, McNabb went to 4 straight NFC championships.
Yeah, he was probably a little bit of a better player relative to his time with the Eagles, Andy Reid, you know, just kind of a perfect fit for what they were doing. Four straight NFC Championship games, a Super Bowl appearance. Flacco has a Super Bowl win, and, you know, he's been in a number of AFC Championship games himself. It just, it feels like you're kind of talking about some similar cases there. So there's one that's retired, for example.
There's one, two Giants. One probably will go to Hall of Fame. Phil Simms is not a Hall of Famer. And then Eli Manning, Eli is probably going to the Hall of Fame eventually. First ballot, I don't know about that. Eli had a 4,500 yard season with 35 touchdowns.
Eli had some good statistical years for sure.
And he also is like very high on all time ranks, which are whatever. But I think those are the three that were not in the Hall of Fame. Like those are the three quote unquote worst quarterbacks that have their number retired that aren't from like 1947 or something. But it's like, all right, you know, I get it, whatever, whatever. I love January Joe. I love Joe Flacco for that 4 or 5 year stretch, which you kind of like skip over the 2013, 2014 year and then look at the 2014, 2015 year. We'll call it 5 years. And, you know, it was great what he did, but he just was never, you know, a pinnacle guy. He only ever finished top 10 in passing touchdowns once, and he was tied for 10th. So it's like, we love him. He's just like he's like a lore. He's like a folklore kind of guy, but he's not like a star guy. Ray Lewis and Ed Reed he played with, like, you know, Anquan Boldin's a Hall of Famer and was his receiver, and he wasn't still, you know, he was never the star of that team, especially while all those guys were there. So, like you said, Ring of Honor, sure. You know, I don't want another quarterback wearing it right now, but it's like, just retiring numbers in general just sucks. It's like, there's 99 fucking numbers. You don't want 12 of them retired. Like, you know, 52, 20, retire those. Those are the only two to me that are worthwhile. Those are like the actual bigger than life legends whose number shouldn't be touched.
Yeah. I'd say 52, 75 and 20 are the only three for me. And it's like, the way that I would probably sum it up with 2 points is the first point is the player in question that we're talking about here. Is anyone really freaking out this much if it's anybody other than Hollywood Brown, who I've defended, I think is obviously a very good player, but he's gotten his fair share of detractors over the years, I think for some unfair reasons and some fair reasons as well. He is putting himself in a negative spotlight at times, and there's just kind of maybe a little bit of a stigma around a guy like that taking what was a fan favorite, like we just talked about with Flacco. And then I also think about it from the perspective of Joe Flacco. Do you think he even knows this is going on?
Yes, he low-key. Flacco, to me, low-key is a little bit, like, he was Joe Cool and whatever, but he always liked the spotlight.
Yeah, he did, but it's like, do you think he
was never a Ben Roethlisberger. He was never a Brett Favre. He was never I'm the guy who doesn't like the spotlight, but I like the spotlight. But he likes the spotlight a little bit.
I think he kind of does, and especially in the later years of Pitta helping him with his hair and all that stuff. And it, like, I think he kind of does. Maybe he knows this is going on, but like, I think this crossed his desk, and he either said, oh, "I'm fine with that," or "Oh, that's a little fucked up," and he just went about his day. Like, it doesn't like register for me. Like, if
Ravens also dicked him a little bit, you know, sent him out to Denver and whatever, drafted Lamar and all that stuff. Not that those were bad things, like, but to him, he's probably like, whatever.
You're a competitor. Like, you're a competitor. You don't want to, you know, you don't ever want to relinquish your spot. You don't want anyone to come in and take your job or anything like that. So maybe there is a little bit of acrimony on that end while he's still playing here. But I think it's ultimately going to be resolved. And I think he's got bigger fish to fry. Like, what the hell is going to happen with the Eagles this season? And he's probably, like I alluded to, going to be getting into some action. So I don't think he's really too worried about this. But maybe that's...
He will take at least one snap during the regular season.
Oh, for sure. And, you know... Yeah, that's going to be something. That's going to be something that's worth monitoring, I think. But
of course. Yeah. That always will be.
Yeah, I guess that's our thoughts on that. We also had Wink coming out and talking a little bit, I think, to who was it?
The PSL, the season ticket holders, in a call.
Yeah, so he had some interesting comments on some of their guys, including Odafe Oweh, that I think he picked up on.
Yeah, he basically just alluded to the fact that they like, I can't recall exactly, I think it was that they like Oweh's length, hands, and speed, something like that. Bend. Hands, length, bend. They think he's going to be a good player. They look at his tape and all that stuff. And they said, you know, he was a millisecond away from getting a ton of sacks. Wink goes on to say, you know, sacks are the most overrated statistic. And I don't know if they're the most. Like, I think season passing yards and some of the total volume stats, and, you know, you can get in some big mega brains on different stuff like that. But do I think sacks are overrated? Yeah, definitely agree with him there. I always like to mention, you know, Brandon Thorne, CBS Sports, does a true sacks charting of his own of what he considers one. And it's, you know, winning with a rip or a spin or, you know, something that you would have to hit the joystick in Madden for to go get a sack. And the league leader only ever has like 10 or 11. And the league lead is usually, you know, total sacks, 15, 16, 18, 20, whatever it is. I think only like 10 guys ever have more than five of those. So a lot of it's hustle. A lot of it's, you know, the quarterback holds the ball and you got to make shit happen, you know, through hell and high water. A lot of it's hustle and kind of just being long and strong and not giving up. That's, I would say it's about half of sacks. And I think he's got all that going for him. And away, you know, we'll talk more. We're going to talk, you know, we did a little offensive side breakdown. Wanted to let the DJ Stevos do their work and then talk the defensive side in the next episode. But yeah, he's got all three of those things and sacks are overrated. So good for you, Wink.
Yeah, I think it's interesting kind of hearing him be so candid about that kind of stuff. I feel like, I don't know if I'd say this about, you know, a ton of coaches on the Ravens where they'd be willing to be that candid and kind of talk that openly about that kind of thing and like deriding a stat that I think is pretty well accepted amongst, if nothing else, fans as a very important stat for him.
Yeah, Mason's like, sacks are stupid.
Yeah, so for him to come out and say that, I think is takes balls a little bit, and it kind of takes like a, hey, fan, like you don't always know what you're talking about, which is kind of cool because I think I don't know if I'd say that this organization placates fans. I think we've in fact seen that the opposite can be true at times with some of the important figures in the brass there in the front office. So to see him do that, I think was kind of interesting. Any other comments of his or anyone else's that caught your eye here? I think we had some other people talking to the media as well.
Drew Wilkins is mentioning, you know, Daylon Hayes is going to be a player. I think that we both share that sentiment. And Daylon Hayes is a guy that could have gotten drafted higher, had a little bit of injury problems. He's a little bit of an older prospect, but team captain at Notre Dame. And, you know, maybe not a prolific player, but a very solid, good player that has a well-polished game. Maybe not the world's best athlete, but he can do a lot, and he fits this Ravens defense. And I think they were talking about Cleveland. They said they liked his feet and a couple other things. And then Bateman, they were referring to how balanced his game is and what they want. I think Greg Roman said he wants a more balanced offense, and Bateman is a big part of that and achieving that. And like I've said before, I believe the Bills and 49ers offenses that he coordinated ran the ball less split-wise than the Ravens do. So getting back towards that 50% mark feels like a good medium, the good old 50-50 split run to pass. And Bateman coming in, obviously, we've said it. If he was somewhere else, he's probably going to, you know, we think he has a potential to be an 80-catch kind of guy immediately in a pass-heavy offense off the bat. He's well-polished. He's ready to go. But in this offense, you know, he's not going to get that many targets or touches. Got Hollywood. You got Andrews still. You got Sammy Watkins. You got Duvernay. So we'll see what he ends up doing. He feels like his fantasy football impact will be much lower than his practical impact in real life.
Yeah, which is always tough when you're a Ravens fan and you just like you want to get like Ravens on your fantasy offense, especially after not being able to do so for so many years. I'd probably recommend holding off in that regard. Some of the highlight videos of him, though, like, and you know, we try not to be highlight guys. I think we got by Miles Boykin a little bit in this regard. But some of the videos of him at minicamp just dropping his hips and doing all this technical stuff, and video of him coming out, I think, for the Wired episode that I don't know if it's out yet or not, but him talking to, it was either Martin or Williams about some of the technical side. I thought it was really, really cool and really interesting. So I'm excited to check that Wired video out when we're done here. But yeah, some of those are great. Love what I've seen from Daylon Hayes so far. Purple Hayes, I'm calling him. And I think that's going to have to stick because I've been calling Austin Hayes Purple Hayes. And it's like, yeah, like that's cool and all, but like
Orange Hayes.
Yeah, yeah. He's Orange Hayes. So that doesn't work. So this one, I think it works just fine. I think our boy EDC Burner, who was all jazzed up about getting a shout out on here, I'm going to give you another one and see if I can just make your day again, because it sounds like he's working on a little Jimi Hendrix Photoshop. So I haven't seen that yet. I'm expecting it from you. And if I don't get it soon, then listen, we're going to be pretty disappointed. But yeah, Daylon Hayes looking good. And Ben Cleveland, obviously, just turning more and more into a meme as we go along here, which is great. But we did break him down and the rest of the offensive rookies down on our offensive deep dive pod for the draft, which released this past, was it Thursday or Friday?
Friday,
where we did that. And we also talked to Bobby Trossett from WBAL 98 Rock, which was a great chat. So if you missed that episode, I can understand because we're getting to that time of year in the schedule. But I definitely recommend going back and checking that one out because it was a ton of fun in both those respects. But of course, we're keeping things a little short here today, a little bit of a micropod, I guess I could call it. But significant bit of news came out today in the NFL. And of course, it got broken on fucking Undisputed. Skipping Shannon Undisputed.
Uncle Shay.
So Uncle Shay. Uncle Shay, Shannon Sharp. Did he call Julio Jones or did he like text him and tell him to call into the show or like?
I think he called Julio and Julio didn't pick up and then Julio called him back.
Okay. So,
and everyone's up in arms. I mean, maybe, but he told Julio, he's like, you're live right now. And then Julio was like, oh yeah, I don't want to play for the Cowboys after he said that.
Yeah. And then
he told him he was live. And then Julio continued. Like Julio has been Joe Flacco-esque, never says a fucking word.
And then all of a sudden.
Now he's going a little crazy. Wants to get out of Atlanta.
Yeah, he said, I think his specific words were, no, I'm out of there. I'm out of Atlanta. So said he wants to leave there. He does not want to play for the Cowboys, and he wants to play for a contending team because it sounds like he wants to start winning, which is kind of funny because I feel like he probably could do that if he went to the Cowboys, but he doesn't seem interested. I think they were just kind of trying to get Skip a little bit there. But, yeah, a very bizarre way for one of the bigger stories of the NFL to break. I mean, it was already kind of, I felt like, out there a little bit, like, it had already kind of come out. Like we had already had this discussion
from what Ben Albright said. It's been widely known in the NFL circles. Like,
and he was the one reporting the Raiders and Ravens were in on Julio before the draft too, right?
Yes, he was. And let's see. I mean, I believe it's going to have to be after June 1st because Julio's So if they were to part with him in a trade pre June 1st, it would be $23 million dead, and they would lose $200,000 by doing so. Post June 1st, they save $8 million. So it was always going to be after June. That is a huge, huge, huge difference. So whenever he gets traded, if it's this year or the next year, it's going to be now, obviously, but $7.75 million in dead money for Atlanta, and they will save $15 million by trading him right meow. Oh, after June 1st, pardon me. So it was always going to be June 1st.
Yeah, and I mean, here we are, and it sounds like things are heating up just in time for that to happen. Maybe this was a work by Julio and his camp, and it's also funny, just a little anecdote here. These shitbag agents that are tweeting about like, oh, this is why I don't let my clients go onto their show. It's like, fuck you, dude.
Your client's not Julio Jones.
Yeah, and like the amount of like manipulation that you guys do on the other side of things. It's like, let's calm down there. Whatever agent I saw that tweet from, I don't even remember, but you know, just kind of a funny little aside there. But yeah, it's coming out just in time for all that to happen. It feels like there's plenty of suitors in the mix. Maybe the Ravens going to be one of them. Plenty of speculation about that on Ravens Twitter. Feels like New England maybe going to be in the mix. Titans floated as another possibility.
Kansas. If I'm the Colts, I am getting him. I'm going to go get him.
Okay, I like that. And it feels like they have ammo to do so and ambition to do so.
They don't have a lot of picks.
Okay.
Because they traded, well, never mind. Buckner's, that already has happened. But Wentz was what?
He was two seconds?
Was it a second and then a conditional first, which is a second?
I think he was a third this year maybe and then a conditional second next year if he does X amount of stuff this coming season.
It can be a first if he like basically goes to the playoffs.
If he
or
makes
starts
the playoffs, yeah.
The year.
Yeah, like that.
Whatever. It's something along those lines. We don't need the exact stuff. But they have a ton of money still. I think they're still like first in the NFL in available cap. And that would make all the sense. You have Pittman there in place already. You still have T.Y., you have Jonathan Taylor. That defense is a good defense. And overall, I believe that's a great destination for both parties involved. They went to the playoffs last year. They're a very stable organization, hilariously, even though, you know, Irsay is a nut. But they're doing well. They've been doing well the last couple of years. They've dealt with Andrew Luck, got themselves Phillip Rivers, and then got themselves Carson Wentz. And they're in good shape. So I think that's a really great spot. Tennessee, A.J. Brown wants him real bad. And I'm sure Tennessee, you know, might be in on that. But
What do we make of the players getting involved in this stuff? Because we had D-Hop over in Arizona tweeting out a picture of him and all the Cardinals offensive guys with Julio. We had Marlon Humphrey doing his whole come to the Ravens thing, and Lamar kind of quote tweeting that. I think it's kind of funny. Like the players getting involved in this stuff a little bit.
They love it. They think it's fun. It's like I feel like NFL superstars want to be like the NBA so much, but the sport just isn't quite like that. And there's just too many players. Whereas the NBA is, you know, obviously smaller rosters and stuff. So I feel like they're, whenever there's these little things, they like to just get a little taste of it and kick the tires and get people excited and whatever. And they want, I mean, football's a really weird sport overall. Just they root for each other, especially if you're on the same side of the ball. Like if you're two different wide receivers, you're Nuke and you're Julio, like you root for the other guys. Obviously not, you know, above yourself or your team, but they all train together. There's all these summits that go on now with the tight end summit and the pass rushing summit. They're all buddies. They're all friends. Some of them came into the league together and went to the combine, or they trained with the same person and all that shit. So NFL is interesting that way.
Yeah, it definitely is. So that's been fun to watch. And I guess that leads us into our conversation of the Ravens. Will they, won't they? You put together some cogent, coherent thoughts on the website about this. I sort of more briefly summed it up because I already talked about this back when all this stuff went down. I was 100% for getting him, and like it turned out that it wasn't as possible at the time due to the June 1 stuff and the draft. I kind of still am for it. Like the guy can still 100% play. There is some health concerns. I think he missed half of the year last year. But in three of the games that he's playing last year, out of like seven, he's going freaking beast mode and like looking amazing. He can still get it done. It just depends on the compensation package. And I think you presented it as a question for Harbaugh and DaCosta. Do you feel that you've done enough to build a championship contender going into this year? If the answer is yes, do not acquire him. If the answer is no, do what you have to do to acquire him, because the window is not necessarily closing, but there's going to be some transition going on here after Lamar's contract.
If Eric DaCosta and John Harbaugh are sitting there right now and they're having an honest conversation, and you don't feel like you have done enough to beat the Chiefs, beat the Bills, you know, the Buccaneers are returning all 22 fucking starters. Aaron Rodgers is going to be somewhere. All these great teams. The AFC's stacked. The Patriots are probably going to be a playoff team. The Dolphins are kind of scary. The Browns are kind of scary, or pretty scary. You know, the Steelers, who they'll probably be, they'll win at least 10 games somehow in our fucking faces. The last year, so many teams in the AFC. The AFC in general is just so stacked. So if you're having an honest conversation, you don't have to mortgage the future to get Julio Jones. His cap hits are 15, 11, and 11. $11 million a year over the next two. I think there's only $2 million guaranteed in 2022 next year. So you can get out whenever you want. You have a shitload of draft picks next year. You have tons of day two and day three draft picks. You're getting a ton of comp picks. And if you're not feeling like a Super Bowl team right now, then what the fuck is the point of playing the game this year?
Yeah.
There's no point in not, you know, you don't have to go spend two first round picks. If that's the case, I was wrong about Jamal Adams. I said, you know, and I probably was wrong on this, but I said I would spend a first round pick on Jamal Adams, and he ended up going for two. So I never would have done the two first round picks. But if it's a second and a fourth or something, the Ravens have to put that offer on the table for no other reason than to make sure that the Browns and the Chiefs and the fucking even Chargers, some of these teams that have cap space, maybe not the Chiefs, but they do devil magic and make it work, don't let some other team go send a second and a fourth for a Hall of Fame receiver who is playing at a Hall of Fame level. And people think that Julio's not playing at a Hall of Fame level. That's bullshit. He was fifth in the NFL in yards per route run last year. He was first the year before that, and he was, whichever one he was, fifth or sixth, he's been fifth, sixth, and first in the last 3 years. So he's still playing at a literal Hall of Fame level. He is basically like, if Miles Boykin did everything right in the entire world, what you wanted Miles Boykin to be, heaven and hell above, that's Julio Jones. He blocks harder than anyone in the NFL. He is the ultimate deep threat. He is the ultimate skew defenses away from Mark Andrews, away from the run game. Like, if Julio Jones is ISO on one side of the field, you're not fucking leaving him over there in single coverage. That is goddamn sure. So it's everything you want. If you think you've done enough, which that's, you know, we can debate until we're blue in the face. That can be an hour in itself. If you think you've done enough, you don't need him and it's not worth it. But at least put a third and a fifth on the table so that some other team isn't walking in the AFC because they want to trade him to the AFC. They said that. Maybe they don't, but so that the Titans or the Browns or someone else isn't just walking in and getting Julio Jones for a third fucking round pick and suddenly scaring the shit out of you. And I think there's, you just automatically put at least a medium, a small medium offer on the table, whatever you think that is. Don't let someone else steal him, drive up the price. And if you end up accidentally winning Julio Jones, oh no, we got a Hall of Fame receiver for cheap. It's a win-win.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you have to be in the mix. You have to always be considering the possibilities. So if they're not sitting around and having this conversation right now, maybe again, maybe they were already having it pre-draft, but I still think you need to be having it. I mean, there's, you know, would be, I'm sure, plenty of the James Prochet stands and all, you know, everyone's talking about these.
Oh, they're in the comments of the article I wrote. They're still there saying, what about Prochet? What about Boykin? What about Tylan Wallace? What about that? You're talking about 30 combined receptions versus an active Hall of Fame caliber player, Hall of Fame, first ballot Hall of Famer playing at a Hall of Fame level still.
I would trade
James fucking Prochet.
I would trade, I mean, this is totally unrealistic, of course, but I would trade Boykin, Duvernay, and Prochet right now if it got
and Tylan Wallace.
Yeah, and Tylan Wallace if it got them.
I would trade everyone other than Hollywood and Bateman in that receiving room.
Yeah.
For Julio, I would probably fucking trade either one of them still too.
I would trade Hollywood. I wouldn't trade Bateman.
I would probably trade any of them for Julio straight up. I would probably trade any of them for Julio straight up. I don't want to trade Hollywood or Bateman, but I don't care about Watkins. He's on a 1-year deal. Boykin, fucking whatever. I don't even want to talk about that. Duvernay, you know, you like him, whatever. Prochet isn't going to, like, one of Boykin and Prochet isn't even going to be on the team probably. Unless they're an IR stash
already,
and like, both of them might not end up being on the team. There's already like five guys. So I don't care about them. It's $30 million ish and a couple picks when you have a shitload of picks. And then it's like, okay, well, Lamar is going to get an extension. Yes. Mark Andrews is going to get an extension. Yes. But we've talked about this on the show before. When a player gets extended, they don't automatically have a gigantic cap hit the next year. Like, number one, Julio's cap hit next year is $11 million. That's probably the 20th highest among receivers, maybe even like 30th highest among receivers. The cap is going to keep going up. And Lamar is not going to be making that $40 million cap hit dent until next year's the fifth. So it would be next year would be the first year of the extension. The cap hit would be reduced probably because he's in the fifth year. So you spread the cap hit out. So they would probably have like a $25 or $30 million cap hit in 2023, which is the last year of Julio's contract. So before Lamar would ever actually be damaging the cap, Julio is done on his contract, and it's only $11 million anyway over the next 2 years. So making it work this year, you know, logistically, without Sammy Watkins, it's probably a lot easier. Sammy Watkins, and people are like, oh, we'll just trade Sammy Watkins. You can't do that because you're only saving $1.2 million on that, and you're also incurring dead cap when you do that. So that's not a great option, really, for $1 million. But if they had not made that move, I think it would be more feasible. And do I think the Ravens are going to ultimately do it? No. It's probably more likely that, you know, obviously the field will do it after Bateman and all that shit. But I think it's just a good philosophical question for Harbaugh and DaCosta to be sitting there like, did we do enough? Are we going to go to the goddamn Super Bowl? Are we going to play in a conference championship at least? If not, we need to make more moves to try to.
Yeah, and even if the answer, like, candidly is no, and I'm not sure if they would candidly answer this as no if they don't acquire Julio, but if both of those things are the case, then you better start cracking the fucking books and getting those rookies ready to go. Because if you don't get a guy like Julio and one of these guys doesn't work out like you need them to, then, you know, you could have a problem on your hands at receiver.
It's just that it's another year of, you know, going to the playoffs. Hope, I mean, and this is the part that I wrote about in the article. It's like, don't overlook going to the playoffs. Don't take that for granted as a fan base. Don't overlook 13 playoff trips in 20 years, all the division titles, the games they've won, you know, Flacco's 10 playoff wins, all that great stuff. Don't overlook that. Don't take that for granted. But of course, as fans, you want more. You want championships. You want dynasty. And it takes a nation to win a Super Bowl. And dynasties are, you know, there's not always an active dynasty going on. Like, It's once in a generation, twice in a generation, whatever you want to call it. But you're, as a fan base, you want that. And as fans, as you and I are, of a Baltimore Ravens team that has been good for so long, we want more. We do want more. And of course, Eric DaCosta and John Harbaugh, they want it more than anyone else. They want the ring. They want the trophy. They want the fucking acknowledgement. It's, you haven't won a ring without Ray Lewis and Ed Reed and all of that old regime. This is a new regime. It was like the post Ray and Ed Flacco regime. And now it's a Lamar Jackson and fucking Marlon Humphrey regime. Like, those are the two players that stand out to me of this era. And you want to validate all of that. You want to win the Super Bowl to say, we were right. We drafted Lamar Jackson. We built the offense for him. We lit the NFL up with him. And we went and we put the final nail in the piece. I mean, Tom Brady's got fucking Antonio Brown, Chris Godwin, Mike Evans, and the rest of the fucking seven dwarves in his receiver room. And they're returning. They're coming back. You know, Mahomes has a fucking line again. And Kelsey and Hill and all that shit. So here we are. What do you want to do?
Yeah, to make kind of a far-flung cross-sport analysis, talking of golf again, I was listening to a podcast today talking about Colin Morikawa and Will Zalatoris, who are two young, really good players that have issues with putting. And
right.
the point that was being made was that they're always saying how, oh, well, I just want more consistency. I want to be more consistent. And the guy I was listening to, Kyle Porter, who's great, was like, well, yeah, actually, you don't want more consistency because sometimes you have weeks where your putter just blows up and you get really hot and that's when you win. That's really what you want, is that volatility that trends in the positive direction. So doing something like acquiring Julio, that could be the difference between getting you over Kansas City. And like, if it's not that hard to do, then like, it's a fucking no-brainer for me.
If it's not costing, if it's a difference between, this is not, maybe not going to work, but you're saving for your retirement. You're saving. You're always saving. You sign the Zeitlers. You stash the comp picks. You let Judon and Ngakoue walk. You're saving. You know, what are you saving for? What are you going to buy? You don't have to go buy a yacht and blow your entire retirement and, you know, fucking whatever. But do you want to maybe die with your retirement in the bank instead? Like, you can buy a nice car. You've been saving for so long. You can buy the nice car. You can do the midlife crisis car without even having it be a crisis. So fucking do it if it doesn't cost that much. If you don't need to mortgage anything, if you're not putting anything in jeopardy, and I really don't feel like they are, then go get him. Bring him here. Do what you need to do to win a Super Bowl. The defensive side, people are like, well, I still want Justin Houston. He would provide. If you think fucking Justin Houston is going to provide more value than Julio Jones right now, after like this whole defensive thing, the Ravens have a great defense. It's a solid defense. They did well in the playoffs. They really fucked the Bills up and the Titans up, to be honest. They played great in both of those games. But the Cleveland game was such a showing of when your defensive strategy is built on having really great players and then they get hurt, you need to be able to fucking score. You need to still be able to outscore your opponent. And that is why Julio Jones provides more value than Justin Houston. Justin Houston is not scoring points. Like, they're fine on defense. I'm sick of the defense shit. They've overinvested in the defense. Like, we're sick of it. You still have your great cover corners. Oh my God, no, they don't have Myles Garrett or Joey Bosa or Judon and whatever the fuck. They're fine. They have Calais Campbell, Derek Wolfe, Tyus Bat. Like, they've still got options up front. Calais Campbell's like a Hall of very good player up as a pass rusher too. So fucking blow everyone up, like nuke the damn league if it doesn't cost that much. If they want two firsts for him, fuck that shit. I don't want two firsts for a 32-year-old
player.
But
here's where it's not going to be that, because the Falcons got fucked here. Like, Julio Jones should not
be. Falcons are idiots. They fucking traded for Hayden Hurst.
Well, yeah, but they got fucked in this situation specifically because Julio Jones did not, he's not the malefactor of what happened today. The Falcons are the malefactors because the leverage is out there now. Julio's gone. He's leaving. The Falcons have no leverage anymore. They can't like say, oh, well, we're just going to hang on to him and he's just going to hold out. Well, he's a fucking Hall of Fame receiver in his early 30s. He wants to go win and you're not going to screw him over. You can like posture and say that you're going to and hang on to him, but you're not. So he's gone and maybe it takes like one first round pick, but these days, like, that's really not that much, to be frank.
The odds of the first round pick turning in, and some money as well, but the odds of a first round pick and let's say $30 million, the first round pick costs a good bit too. I mean, over time, everyone's like, oh, someone's commenting on the Baltimore Beatdown article I wrote. And they're like, no, if you're talking about a first round, you're talking about five years of control. The fifth year option is a goddamn franchise tag now. So
yeah,
it's not like that anymore. And the odds that it's Matt Elam are just as fucking high that it is Marlon Humphrey. Like, you're playing a roulette game, plus obviously some cap dollars, but I don't know. I'm just not in the business of not acquiring a Hall of Fame player if I can afford them, who is still playing at a high level, who has played in a Super Bowl, who is a nightmare. And it would just be such a ha-ha-ha from Eric DaCosta to draft Bateman and Wallace and sign Watkins and trade for Julio Jones and turn this offense into a fucking, literally Godzilla, a nuclear nightmare to deal with. You have Julio Jones on one side. You have the best rushing attack in NFL history. And then you've also got the ancillary Mark Andrews, Hollywood Brown, Rashad Bateman, and just in case someone gets hurt or something.
And as much as we love Bateman, and I think we also like what Watkins is going to bring, Julio would bring a physicality the likes of which this offense has not had ever.
Ever.
At wide receiver, at least. Like he would bring, like they're at right now, they are still, at least through the air, they're a little bit of a finesse team, even with Bateman, who is, he maybe fits the profile of possession receiver, but he's much more of a smooth player, and he kind of gets by on his technical ability. Julio has that, and he also has the
ability. He will never be as good as Julio Jones.
Yeah, and Julio has the ability to run through guys, which some guys just don't have.
He is a apex predator on a football field. And they, I mean, I would say Anquan Boldin is probably the closest thing. Jamal Lewis. And then Lamar, of course, whatever. But Boldin is not as good as Julio Jones.
Right.
And I hope Anquan Boldin, I have his jersey. I wore it to the Super Bowl. He's my favorite Ravens offensive player of all time. I fucking love him. He better be a first ballot Hall of Famer. I love him to death. He's not Julio Jones.
Julio is like a top 10 all-time receiver.
All-time offensive, like all-time skill player.
Yeah, like he's like...
Like him, Barry Sanders, Calvin Johnson, like a couple guys.
He's been dwindling because he's been in Atlanta, who they've had some good years. You know, they went to a Super Bowl and
rotting from the inside out ever since that Super Bowl.
They have, and they were rotting before it. And, you know, after 2012, when they were in the championship game, they lost to San Francisco. They rotted in between then. Then they went to the Super Bowl with Shanahan, kind of a flash in the pan. And then, they just went back to irrelevance. And Julio, I think, to his credit and maybe also to his detriment if he was trying to win, said literally nothing over that time period. And now,
he's stuck in there for what the hell was the coach's name? Why can't I think? Dan Quinn. He had that big viral video of him saying, this is not Dan. He was in the locker room. He was like, this is not Dan Quinn's fault. He does everything for us. He gives us everything. This is our fault, not his fault. It was like the opposite of that viral video of that Pee Wee football player kid. Yeah. It was like, players, this is the coach's fault. It was the exact opposite.
Plus,
like,
Mark,
Right.
But I'm rocking with Mark because Mark's rocking with us. But yeah, he said nothing for a decade. And, he compiled statistics. He is going to be in the Hall of Fame, but the thing that he's most known for is making an acrobat catch in the most infamous loss maybe in NFL history.
That's probably the most infamous. That and then Patriots of our lifetime, especially that and then the Patriots Giants, the fucking David Tyree.
I mean, it will probably always be Super Bowl III, as much as that sucks for us, but that game is like 28-3 is fucking like you just hear 28-3 and you picture him making that catch. And just,
anytime any score is 28-3, anytime anything is 28-3, it's that.
And that's synonymous with him.
Him.
Which sucks. Like, that shouldn't be the way it is. He deserves to win a ring, and I hope he gets one, and I think he's
going to. And then there's the other questions I just want to hit on, too, because we're doing the Julio episode. Is he a scheme fit? Julio Jones is your scheme. He is a scheme fit for every single fucking team. He is the scheme fit. Is he worried about touches? I mean, we don't know for sure, but I would think no.
Well, guess
think he doesn't fucking care anymore.
Guess where he got a lot of touches? Atlanta.
He has all the touches. He has all the touches, and he wants to leave, and he would still be getting all the touches there. He wants to fucking win. The Ravens win a lot. We talked about that. They are a winning franchise that needs him. They, have showed interest in him already. So Albright doesn't talk out of his ass. I'll be the first person to admit when I figure out that Albright is talking about out of his ass or something, he's maybe my favorite insider type guy. He's very realistic and all that good shit. But ultimately, if you can get Julio for a second and a fourth, sure, even a first, and that's all. And maybe the Falcons will eat some of that fucking cap, to be honest, because what else do they have to lose at this point other than just get those goddamn picks? So they would certainly probably not be opposed to eating a little bit of that cap. And then all of those bottom of the barrel receivers, I they're great athletes. They're better than I'll ever be. It's Julio Jones. They're not shit compared to him.
Imagine being a Falcons fan and thinking after they take Kyle Pitts that, oh, you know what? They're retooling one last run with Matty Ice here. They didn't take the quarterback. They stuck to their guns, took a tight end, all-time great tight end potentially. They're going to compete with Julio and, yeah.
I'm gonna go get the papers. The suit is not black.
Yeah, just go get the papers, Falcons fans, because you just got fucked today. That sucks.
Yeah, it was like basically it's pretty similar in ways to what happened with Orlando Brown. The leverage is gone because he was outward about it.
Yeah,
and the Ravens didn't get the big return that everyone thought. You know, they got a fine return, but it wasn't. You know, we thought at one point maybe we might be getting the Chargers 13th overall pick. They didn't come close to getting that. So. The leverage is gone, as you mentioned, and do you want a Hall of Fame caliber player without mortgaging the future? Probably. And if DaCosta and Harbaugh genuinely – I would be surprised if DaCosta doesn't put down, you know, a day two pick and a day three pick or something, put it on the table, drive the price up at least, and say you tried. Like, sounds like that's what they did with Hopkins. They were like, listen, we're just going to put something out there just so we don't feel like complete shit later. That way you're like, oh, we could have offered more. I could have gone this way. But just put an offer on the table. The Falcons take it. You get Julio. Make the rest work. The money-wise, restructures, whatever. They can fucking figure it out. As we all know at this point, by now, if you really want something to happen, you can make the cap work. You don't have the excuse anymore because the Chiefs had zero fucking dollars and have an all-pro guard and a Pro Bowl left tackle and all that other shit, you know, whatever. So at this point, get him. If you don't, it's not the end of the world. But what are we doing if we're not trying to win a Super Bowl? You know, what are you doing if you're not trying to go win a Super Bowl? And this is the last, this is my closing statement. I'm rambling, but talk about the Chiefs. When you win a Super Bowl, you know, you can mismanage it. The Ravens did that a little bit. It was tough with Reed and Lewis and everyone leaving and all the coaches getting poached and all that stuff into the new contract as well. But it drives up revenue. It drives up profit. It attracts coaches and players to want to be a part of your organization. Adds a fucking ring onto your legacy, and the likelihood of you winning another one in the near future is enhanced. So it is what it is. Go fucking win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, the belief that I've had is that in the salary cap era, there is some soul selling that has to go on with winning a Super Bowl. That is not any more true than right now, where you've got the Chiefs to get past, and even if they get Julio Jones, I'm frankly not going to be 100% sold that they're going to be able to do so. I think their chances are going to go up, but it's still going to be very hard. You got the Buccaneers on the other side who are going to be very strong. You got plenty of teams that are going to be in the mix here. There's Clydesdales up and down the line in each conference that are going to be tough to get through, just workhorses. And it's going to be tough, but this would be the thing that I think would give me confidence that you can at least get to the game. And I have always believed that if you just get to the game and give yourself a flip of the coin, that is worth it. Like if you did something to get yourself into a Super Bowl, unless you choke it away 28-3, and cause yourself more pain than anything, I think it's worth it just to get there. So
that only happens 1 out of 50 times that someone has that happen to them. So
yeah, good point. So
get there at all costs, especially if you don't have to. That I've already said it, mortgage the future. That was talking Julio Jones. We think they should get him if they don't have to make too big of a move. Yeah. So what's the point? What's the point of not trying to win a Super Bowl?
Yep. Sounds like we're all taked out. You got anything else before we get rolling?
We'll see what happens. I feel like, you know, by this time next week, there'll be news on that front, but that does it for this episode.
Awesome. Well, to get us out of here, as I alluded, want to jump into the Apple iTunes reviews as we've been talking about. We've had a couple roll in, so I figured the more we have rolling in, the more I can read on the show here. So 5 stars from AmKing24. This is the one. Far and away the most entertaining and knowledgeable Ravens podcast out there. Thank you. Voss808 on Thursday, The Boys with a Z, yes. 5 stars, best Ravens podcast out there, a good mix of fandom and deep dive football, which I love. An indecipherable name here from May 15th, The Boys, 5 stars, are killing it. And then one of my favorites that we've gotten recently was from JJDino52, who gives us 4 stars. Don't do that if you're going to do this, give us 5 stars, but I thought it was kind of funny, like, nice podcast. The tangent on Ben Mason steered towards a Facebook comment section, though. I get it. You love Pat Ricard. Many of us do. But Ravens fans tend to be clingy and scorned that they don't need the extra gas. The Ravens clearly drafted in a forward-thinking way at a couple positions fans need to accept that in a year or two, Ricard will be out of price range. This offseason alone, fans were upset about Fort, LaVine being late re-signs, and they need to brace themselves and accept it that these guys will be replaced sooner rather than later. I love that. I don't like it. Just like the thing, like the thing about
the
like,
fact that it's a 4-star makes me wet.
Yeah, like
I'm soaked that it's a 4-star review.
You had to do 4 stars one, but like the thing that, and I've gotten like comments like this, not just in reviews, but like in private messages and stuff of people that like you can tell they've only listened to like one episode and they think that like that tangent or whatever is like we're just gonna not do that anymore. Like it's like, dude, like, you know, I mean, that's just kind of what we
thank
are.
Thank you for leaving a review, first of all.
Yeah, second and we all, appreciate the 4 stars.
Second of all, Pat Ricard is 310 pounds of lean, mean fucking machine, okay? Ben Mason, he eats Ben Mason. He could bench Ben Mason. Ben Mason is Ben Mason's fucking Instagram name, bench Ben Mason, and Pat Ricard benches Ben Mason.
I'm so glad this came in because I knew it was going to trigger you for one thing, but it's also just like, it's indicative of people that like kind of don't, and like, this isn't, you know, I'm not like saying that this is a bad thing or anything. Like some people
that
don't.
That was the best review we've ever had.
Yeah. Like some people don't always get it with like certain podcasts and with ours. I think like that's just kind of indicative of somebody that like drops in on one and like kind of expects just like, I don't know what they're expecting, but like, you know, it's just funny. Like, and like, I don't blame somebody for like thinking a certain way about like how we
out of price range is spending a 5th round pick on a fullback,
which is sick. Like, and
it is so sick. That's what we said. We love it. If they couldn't fuck, they get receiver, edge rusher, offensive line, corner, all these premium positions. The Ravens, you know, they basically went on, they dieted for the beach, got to the beach, and they had a fucking ice cream cone.
Yeah, so
they deserved it. They did great. Pat yourselves on the back. You get yourself another fullback, and yeah, they do all of those things. But at the same time, Pat Ricard is a unicorn.
Yeah, so there's your Pat Ricard for JJ Dino on Apple iTunes. Thank you for listening.
Love it. Best review we've ever had by far.
I hope you stay tuned and you come to realize that like that's just, you know, that's maybe a little like that's not going away. Like that's just sort of the way we do things around here. But yeah, so glad we could read those off and I could shout those people out. Also, before we get going, I hate to be a guy who announces an announcement, but got a little thing we're going to be announcing on Wednesday, which is a fun thing that is going to be affecting the content of this podcast for a couple weeks. A very cool little thing that we've been working on behind the scenes for a little while here. So hate to be announced. Announcement guy.
Jake's got a dragon in the basement, Khaleesi style.
Yeah. So, you know, hate to be that guy, like I said, but stay tuned to our social media feeds on Wednesday where we'll be releasing some more information on this kind of stuff. So
we've been teasing it for a long time. It's perfect ever. Jake's baby. Jake did literally all of it. It's perfect summer evergreen content. You guys are going to enjoy it very much so.
Yeah, I certainly hope so. So stay tuned for more info on that where we will be releasing on the website and on our social media feeds. You can find me at Jake Luke. That is Louque. Where can they find you?
At Ravens for Dummies. That's the number 4. And we said this episode was only going to be like 30 minutes, and we just love you guys so fucking much. It's 52 minutes. Ending Ray Lewis.
Yep, of course. Of course it is. I deep down knew that was going to happen, but didn't say anything. And also follow the show at Podcast Beatdown and the website at Be More Beatdown. Check us out on Instagram at...
That review is insane.
It's the best. Check us out on Instagram at Baltimore_Beatdown. And check out our website, BaltimoreBeatdown.com, where we got great written content coming out from our great staff of writers, including us two. At all times. So appreciate you joining me, bud. Hope you had fun recording this and that thing didn't trigger you too much at the end there, but I had plenty
of
fun.
No, it tickled me. I loved it so much.
Okay, good. Well, I guess that's it for us on this Monday night. Talk to you guys again later in the week.
See ya.
Arrivederci.
Gourlami. Gourlami. Arrivederci.
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 Arrivederci. Arrivederci.